Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, I don't know if you know these guys, but the Dublin Homeless Awareness is a group. It's made up of volunteers, all aged, listen to this, between 18 and 25. And they're helping out on the streets of Dublin City Centre most nights of the week. Now, back in May, we spoke with the creator and organiser, Brandon O'Connor, who set up this group 3 years ago when he was in transition year. And Brandon is back again. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm very good. I see you're in all the gear.
Yep, all the gear.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
So just to explain what you have on you, you have your walkie-talkie.
So, radio. So I wear a different uniform, so to the normal volunteers, so I just carry your radio and belt with everything on it, so all first aid equipment on the belt, because we just don't know when we're ever going to bump into anything that needs medical attention, so we just carry basic first aid stuff. The other lads wear kind of a tactical vest where they kind of bring information packs and stuff around as well in the tactical vest, and then they have their first aid equipment on them as well. So that's what basically we were. Just basically
you're all decked
segments.
Out. You're all you mean out. Business. You yeah. mean business. Can you quickly remind us why you set up Dublin Homeless Awareness?
In 2018, we had to do a project in school as part of politics to tackle an issue in the local area. So I picked homelessness because I knew there was two homeless people living in the Donnymead area. And growing up from my mother being a drug addict and homeless, I wanted to do something kind of close to home, which would kind of help me the other project and get the kind of best points as I can. So we done a 12-hour sleep out in Donnymead, just across from the shopping centre. That got a load of attention from the Lord Mayor and all the local TDs. So kind of went on from there to do a Christmas party in the Coolock area for the Coolock families. And then I just went on from there to Rough Sleepers in the city centre, and here we are, 3 years later.
We're
a full response team. So,
a full response team. And all started back then in transition year. It's incredible.
In transition, yeah.
But your own story really instigated all this. You said your mom was a drug addict and was homeless. Isn't that right? What age were you when all that was happening?
So it was kind of my whole childhood. But kind of it was just kind of coming into transition year that I just want kind of...
You were opened more aware?
Up about, kind of more aware and kind of opened up about it. In like primary school, I didn't really talk about it and stuff like, but kind of in secondary school, most of my primary school students came and friends came from into secondary school with me. So they kind of knew, but then that's when I opened up, and then that's kind of when Dublin Homeless Awareness kind of
And Brandon,
came
what was
together.
What was your life like as a kid?
Well, it was weird about my nanny and granddad, so I've saved him. My mother was always around. It's not like it was bad, like she was on the street or anything. She always had kind of a house, but was kind of sofa surfing or kind of living with me. So it wasn't too bad. So I kind of count myself lucky when I see other people and when they don't see their mothers or kind of their mothers are deceased and stuff. So I kind of count myself lucky.
And how's she doing now?
She was doing good. But then recently she became homeless again.
Okay.
Because she couldn't pay her rent. I think she was 10 grand in arrears or something like that. So she became homeless again. So she's in a hostel now. She was in three different hostels now in the last, since May. So she's in a hostel now at the minute, and she's trying to get a house, hopefully after Christmas. Apparently she's getting a house, what they're saying, at the last 27 years.
Okay.
So we'll just see, have to wait and see.
Okay. With that background, is that motivation for you to go out in the evening and do what you do?
Definitely, yeah, because you kind of take it to say this homeless girl that we're helping tonight could be my mother, like, so that's why you kind of do it to your best ability. And then even it's obviously I've always seen my mother kind of in a house over Christmas, and this kind of is the first year that I'm going to have to go into a hostel and social distance to see my mother, like,
at
it's going to be like going into prison or something. So it's going to be kind of upsetting to see. And then seeing her, because she's in a hostel in town, so I'm bumping into her as well, because I'm in the city centre.
You are?
Yeah.
Doing the great work that you do, and the other volunteers, shout out to them. And I know we spoke before about the other volunteers, and some of them have family members or friends in the same yep. situation. So it's very close to your heart why you do what you do.
Yep.
This wasn't just a project in transition year that you thought, oh, you know, let's go and do this and yep. be great. It'd be great for the community. This is very, very close to all you guys. Can I ask you then, because how often do you go out?
So we've gone up to 3 nights because it's kind of Christmas. So we're doing Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
And what time do you go out at?
Around 7 o'clock till it could be 10 o'clock, it could be 2 in the morning. But kind of what all the nightclubs and all when they were open, we were literally just staying out to make sure people weren't getting attacked, because if they know we're around, they won't go near homeless people. And definitely since we've talked in May, the respect on the streets for us is just unbelievable. Like the amount of people coming up to us saying, "Oh, we're here on the radio, we're seeing you on RTA," and just being there for us, helping us out, especially kind of all the businesses and stuff, kind of keeping an eye on us, making sure all the volunteers are safe, you know.
Yeah, that must be priority as
that's,
well.
Well, that's one thing that I'm proud of that we build up, is that respect on the streets, that people know what we're doing.
Yeah, kind of, and you're there to help.
Yeah, that we're there to help, because when we first started off, kind of people were like, "Who are these people?
Yeah,
we've never seen these people before."
So what kind of things do you have to do? You mentioned first aid. So can you give us, I know every night is completely different, Brandon, it's very hard to kind of... tell me, but just to give people a sense of what you guys have to do when you go out at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Well, it could be anything. Like, so we'll go in. So there's 3 different teams: psych, response, and then the outreach team. So the outreach team is basically normal super, and the hands out food, supplies, hygiene packs, all that kind of stuff. But that will only go ahead if we have the donations, which we have donations at the moment, but they're running out. So that will only go ahead if we have donations. The response team will go around to check on people. For their welfare. So they'll try book them into emergency accommodation through the Simon community. They're all trying to force aid as well. If anything happens, that they can deal with that situation. But a lot of it is welfare checks. Like the other night, we just got someone ring. We have our phone number. So someone just rang the phone number and said, "This person, he lives in a house, but we haven't seen him in a while." So we just had to go up and knock at the door and make sure he's all right. He was grand anyway, so we just check on him. There could be someone in a hostel that's kind of feeling suicidal or something like that. So we'd have to go up and have a chat with them and kind of convince them to go to the hospital. But that kind of all takes time though. Like if we're dealing with a mental health incident, that could take up the whole night for them two volunteers. Like,
Of course.
So yeah, it's just kind of checking in on people, make sure people's welfare is all right. Giving people advice where to go, what they can do for a doctor, because a lot of homeless people don't know where to go for a doctor. The Simon community provide that. Where to get a sleeping bag, how they can change hostel if they're having conflict in the hostel. So we just give general advice.
Endless. It's endless. How are things on the streets of Dublin now since the last time we spoke back in May? We're just coming into summer. Now it's winter. It's coming up to Christmas. Is there an increase in tents and people living on the street, would you say?
Well, since the nightclubs opened then, so there was a lot of assaults. So there was a lot of assaults with people getting assaulted and stuff. So we were kind of tackling that issue.
Is that a big problem?
That's a huge problem, yeah. Because they're kind of, even the groups, there's groups, gangs that come into the city centre and they'll say be fighting with another area. And then that other area won't turn up, so they'll just say, "We'll attack homeless people." Rob their tents and stuff like that. Set tents on fire. That's kind of very rare though, but we've seen it. So just attack homeless people.
So they must be terrified.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't in the city centre anymore, which is a huge problem for us because we have...
So they're moving out?
We've no transport, so getting to them is... We have to get buses and trains and everything like that. So we were trying to get a van at the moment, but we kind of... stopped that because we weren't getting a huge success with that. Insurance would be no problem getting, I'm pretty sure we could get insured, but just getting the van itself. And of course we need some sort of van, like a crew cab that fits six people.
Yeah.
Not just the 3 people that we can bring the team, 2 people. Because a lot of them aren't in the city centre, they're too scared and...
They're just moving out.
They're moving out.
Volunteer, we mentioned this, let's just talk about you guys, the volunteers. The youngest is...
So the youngest is 18.
18.
Since then, we're trying to register as a charity. So kind of that was bringing in child protection issues and all. So we had to kind of just stop the volunteers. There is volunteers in the organisation that are young, but they're not out on the street. So they're kind of making up the hygiene packs and stuff like that.
How do you guys manage? I mean, your group of young people going out doing... just heartbreaking stuff. I mean, the things you see and you have to do. How do you look after yourselves?
So there's new things, but I'm going to bring in new things in the new year. So all the volunteers, some of them have it, some of them don't. But it's going to be mandatory. So the two mandatory things that I'm bringing in is the Hep B vaccine. So if they get a needle prick injury, that they're covered then. And that's mainly for the response team because of what they're dealing with. And then I'm going to bring in, there's counseling available, but it's only optional. So I'm bringing in mandatory counseling. So they'll have to go to a counsellor each month. And then if they have nothing to talk about, they just talk about how they got on, what the streets are like to the person. And that's just to make sure the volunteers are okay. Because we have no office or anything like that, we're debriefing on the side of the road. And if it's absolutely lashing out, no one's going to debrief. Everyone's just going to go home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, I get that.
And we don't
have
any base or we don't have any transport.
You have nothing.
We have nothing.
It's you just have each other.
Each other, yeah.
And an absolute drive to help these people on the street. It's incredible what you do. It's phenomenal. Now, we mentioned that you're not a fully registered charity, but how is all that going? I mean, just to explain to people, why is it so important to become a fully registered charity?
Well, apparently by law, you have to become a registered charity. It's very difficult because I set up the charity when I was a child. So now I'm not a child. I have loads of responsibilities. So we've set up a temporary board of management in the group, which is basically everyone that's going to be kind of running it, the charity. But apparently by law, you have to register as a charity to take donations in and stuff like that. We're still taking them anyway because we have to. We can't operate if we don't have the donations. But I doubt they'll enforce that, but that's what we're doing anyway. But then if we become registered charity, the benefits of that is we can go towards Lidl, Tesco, all that kind of stuff, get regular donations. We can ask for funding. We're on good terms with good local businesses. We're on good terms with the council. The council has offered us funding, but they can't give it to us because we're not registered. So we're getting offered all these things, but we can't take them. Facebook that wanted to donate 140 sleeping bags, but we can't take that because they're a business and they can't.
They're making your life very difficult.
But the small business could usually donate.
Okay.
And we usually take donations from them.
Okay.
And we just can't operate with donations. And especially at the moment, we're getting loads of food in because of Christmas, but we're absolutely scraping by for first aid equipment.
Okay.
If we don't have first aid equipment, then we just won't go out because if we're in our tactical vest and someone comes up to us and we're in injury and we haven't got the equipment to deal with, like, we're putting ourselves at risk and we're putting them at risk. So we just can't go out. So we're relying on the public for that, them donations. And we've account set up in a first aid shop in Finglas. So people just usually donate money into that account and then we just go and buy what we need. Or some people just go to the local pharmacy and buy stuff.
And where can people find out more of all the great work that you do?
Facebook and Instagram is the heart of the organisation.
Yeah.
So if you go on there, all the information is on the stories and the posts there. Everyone's asking, because we have no transport, it's a nightmare to get donations to and from to us. So we're setting up a drop-off point in Donegal on the 20th of December. That's on the Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat as well. So people can drop the donations between a certain time to us there. We done it last year and we got great success from it. People come from Cork and everything. So
the main thing is, if you want to help these guys out, if you want to donate, if you want to get involved, Dublin Homeless Awareness, go to Facebook and Instagram and you can contact Brandon directly there. Brandon, that's a lot to be doing.
Yeah.
How's other things going in your life? Do you have a life?
Working two jobs. Working two jobs in college, doing pre-paramedic studies. Don't really have a life. So I'm doing this on...
Well, you have a very busy life. You're doing absolutely everything.
And even just to give you an example of a typical day. So woke up at 9 o'clock today, came to you. Then I have to go to work at 2 o'clock and then I'm in work till 9 o'clock and then from 9 o'clock till about 1 in the morning I'll be doing the homeless and then I'll go to sleep.
Lovely. You'll enjoy that sleep. And Christmas Day, what does that look like for you?
It's definitely relaxing. If I'm not in work, hopefully I'm not at work, but I'll probably be in work in some sort of job. I would do something for the homeless then that day. We done it last year where you handed out Christmas hats and balloons and stuff like that. It's just to bring that kind of Christmassy cheer to people on the street.
That's what you do on Christmas Day.
Yep.
Brandon, thanks for coming in your very busy schedule and chatting to me. I know you've a lot on. And just to give the Facebook and Instagram page again, it's the Dublin Homeless Awareness. You can contact the guys directly through there. You can message them if there's anything you want to donate or help out with. And to you, the listener, don't lose faith in the young people of Ireland because evidently it's in good hands. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.